Yo, what's up, guys? It's your boy Sugu and your boy GT. This is.
Yo, what's going on, everyone? It's been a minute.
It's been a while. It's been a while. We're back. It's the Beyond the Arc boys. Yeah, I mean, we just had to wait for the basketball season to kick into gear, but we're back for episode 9.
Ricardo Blog presents Beyond the Arc, episode 9.
Yep. And yeah, man, before we get into it, I think let's give a shout out to everybody that's been listening. Because, I mean, you know, we're still trying to build ourselves up, but you guys have been very supportive. So thanks to everybody. Thanks for your tweets. Thanks for all your encouragement. And yeah,
a lot of people have actually shown like a lot of love today. Shout out to my boy Lebo, who's in the Seychelles right now. He's gonna listen when he gets back into town. Shout out to Jess. Shout out to Babalwa. Shout out to Michael
Yeah,
Zulu.
shout out to the Zulu heavy.
Shout out to Zuleka. Shout out to Dave Bunguza, Dave Bundles.
David Bundles in the house,
Koketo, everyone who's been listening to the blog, you know, or to the pod rather. There's gonna be a lot more episodes. We didn't shout you out now. We'll definitely get you on the next one.
Yeah, plus we're excited that we're now available on like most of the major platforms now. It's been a bit of a journey, but at least you guys can find us where you listen to your podcast.
Yeah. Shout out to you for organizing that, dude. Like, now people can actually listen to us on Spotify, on Apple Music. What else are we on? We're on Anchor, Google
Anchor,
Play.
Google Play, Radio N. Yeah, it's like a lot of them. It's
Dog,
like
we
things
major now,
I
dog.
Didn't even know half of these platforms existed,
we
bro.
Major, dog. Like, we're international now.
Bro.
Also, we forgot the compulsory, you know, the customary toast to kind of like kick off the show.
So today, you know, seeing as it's quite hot outside, we decided to break out the Coronas.
Yep, this is living.
So yeah, man, cheers. Let's get it
Cheers, my
in.
boy. So yeah, man, I mean, I think the last time we actually did the pod, we spoke about the FIFA, you know, FIBA. Did I say FIFA?
Damn, 2K.
Okay, wait, sideboard. Did you get FIFA 20 already?
It's because I haven't caught FIFA 20 yet.
I caught it. I caught it.
We talked about the FIFA Basketball World Cup.
FIBA.
I said FIFA.
Okay.
I'm sure I said FIFA
you
this
said
time.
FIFA again, bro.
FIFA and FIFA sound the same, dude.
Okay, FIBA.
I'm telling you, I said FIFA.
FIBA Basketball World Cup, yeah.
Listen, I got a twang. Okay, cool. I'm going to put emphasis on the FIBA this time. Because clearly Sugu doesn't hear it. So the Basketball World Cup. We made a couple of predictions last time around. I think I had Spain as like my third or fourth favorite team. I can't remember who else I had. I think I had France. Serbia had a good team. Australia had a decent team. And I think we even mentioned Argentina as one of the outsiders.
I think we touched on them. We touched on them.
We
touched on them. We also, I think we also touched on Spain, as you said. But yeah, we were suckers and we went for the USA.
Well, you went for the USA. No, it wasn't for the USA.
I think we pretty much both assumed that, like, dude, it's the, you know, it's the superstars of the NBA.
Yeah.
But a lot of them pulled out, and I think for with good reason. You know, you gotta preserve yourself for the season, especially because this season is looking like it's going to be a crazy one, which is basically almost every season. But yeah, but this one looks very special.
It's actually interesting that you mentioned that, right? Do you think that all the trades and all the stuff that happened leading up to FIBA, to the FIBA World Cup, actually had an influence on whether some guys were like, I'm gonna play or I'm not gonna play? Because like you said, like, there's a lot of huge trades that happened, a lot of, you know, free agent signings that probably changed like the landscape of the NBA, like, hugely. So do you think that obviously some players had to be like, no, I can't, I need to rest, it's gonna be a long season?
You know what it is, I think it was a phrase that was coined last season, that idea of load management. And I think a lot of people, I mean, unfortunately, I think to a certain extent the FIBA tournament does get disrespected a little bit, especially by the American athletes. Because I think, I mean, you can see it post the aftermath. I mean, like, for those who didn't know, the USA finished seventh. And after that,
that's the worst finish ever, actually.
Exactly. And after that, all of a sudden, Steph Curry said he's there. LeBron said he's there for the Olympics. Because obviously now it's like a more, it feels like a bigger platform. So I think that's something to look at. I mean, look, obviously you can't force players to play. But I think on the other side, what's encouraging about it is that it gives other nations a chance to shine. Because, I mean, I think the fact that Spain won it and Argentina was in the final, France, I think they finished third or fourth, I must check and confirm. But I mean, yeah, like I think the fact that those were some of the outcomes of it was, yeah, it just kind of makes it, yeah, sorry, France finished third, as I said. Yeah. And then Australia was fourth and Serbia was fifth. But I think what's nice
is Australia without Ben Simmons even.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah. But I think what's nice about it is that it shows you the depth and the growth of basketball, I think, on like a global scale.
Yeah. And cool. I think what's scary for the USA right now is, I mean, look, the players that they sent to the tournament weren't necessarily bad players as well. You know, these are like the future superstars of the NBA. I mean, you're talking about Donovan Mitchell, Jason Tatum, guys like that who are going to be carrying the torch. I mean, Kyle Kuzma is also there.
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking about the guys who are the future of the NBA. Yeah, some of them potential MVPs of the future. So it's one of those situations where, apart from, you know, the USA sending young upcoming players, it's also the fact that the rest of the world is also starting to catch up. I mean, look at Luka Doncic, for instance.
Exactly.
Look at Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah.
And now, depending on how his brothers develop. So,
exactly.
You know, it's going to be crazy to see what happens at the Olympics and future Olympics and even the next, you know, FIBA World Cup tournament.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And I think also someone that we have got to give a big shout out to is Marc Gasol.
Yeah.
What a year he's had.
What a year he's had.
FIBA and NBA champions.
Like, on in France. Like, I was following the games here and there from the World Cup. How I found out that Spain won was I saw an article talking about how Marc Gasol won the NBA title and also is now world champion too.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's actually a bit ironic because when you win, you become NBA champion.
Of course,
you
become world champion. So he's a double world champion.
He's a double world champion in 1 year, which is insane.
Crazy. It's crazy.
And it's crazy that, you know, you almost felt like when the Grizzlies traded him, it was like, geez, what's going to happen to Marc Gasol now? How's his career going to pan out?
Mm.
And I mean, I think the Grizzlies trading him is probably one of the best things that's happened to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because I think almost like the giveaway, I mean, the side effect of it was that I think we got to see that he's a veteran. And I think especially in the paint, it just gave the Raptors that much extra depth. Because I mean, they had Ibaka, and then they're able to add Gasol. And then you've got Kawhi, who's a great defender. It just, I think, gave them that edge.
Yeah.
I think that, like, a lot of teams needed. Because I think he's a player that probably, like, a lot of teams wouldn't think about. But he's a very well-rounded big as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So he's very tough. And also, I think something that we've got to mention is Argentina. I mean, I don't think we know many stars of theirs. But we do know that Manu was originally from Argentina, if I'm
Manu
correct.
Ginobili. Right? So I think Luis Scola, who used to Scola, play for the Rockets, was involved in the tournament as well.
And also, I think what's crazy with that is that it shows you that, like, a lot of these former players, they probably have a great impact on their country. Like, I think their countrymen become, they take a lot of pride in these people playing for big teams like Spurs and so forth. So I think that's something that you can't discount. I mean, even France, they had Tony Parker back in the day. Now they've got Rudy Gobert. They've got a few other guys coming through. So
Nicolas Batum.
Yeah, Nicolas Batum. So they've all got some very good players. So I think we often forget that, like, if you have to do a World 11 versus an NBA 11, like the USA 11, it could be quite a, well, like USA 12. Look at me using soccer references. But like a 5-on-5.
Well, I mean, I get what you're saying. Some people on the bench.
Exactly.
I feel you.
I mean, that could be quite an interesting thing to see what the World 11 would look like versus the American 11. I mean, that could be an interesting match. I mean, obviously America do have some superstars.
Yeah.
But I think the world would give them a pretty decent round.
But you know, we had a lit tournament, apparently. Yeah. Was Ricky Rubio.
Ricky Rubio
didn't do too badly in this tournament. I can also probably imagine he probably felt like a little disrespected.
Oh yeah, especially because I mean, Mike Conley came in, took a spot.
And he got traded to the Jazz, I think it is.
He was at the Jazz. He got traded to, where did he get traded?
The Suns.
He's at the Suns now.
What I'm loving about that, I think it kind of lit a fire in him a little bit.
Yeah.
And I think having for someone like Devin Booker. Mm. If Ricky Rubio stays fit, I think it's going to help him quite a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Because Ricky Rubio doesn't like being a ball dominant guard.
Yeah.
And Devin Booker does like having the ball a lot.
Exactly.
What it'll mean is it'll take away the pressure of creating from Devin Booker, and he can just focus on scoring points.
Exactly.
I know they tried that with Alfred Payton. or if Peyton was playing for the Suns, but he was like always injured.
Exactly.
So it's going to be interesting to see how things pan out with Ricky Rubio and Devin Booker. I think the Suns are still far from being a competitive team, but you never know, man.
You never know.
Are you ready for the random interesting NBA fact of the day?
Yes. Get into it.
This is actually a WNBA fact.
Yeah.
Do you know that there's one player who's won Rookie of the Year? She was the first person actually to do this. She won Rookie of the Year, and then she won MVP in the same season.
Oh, yes, I did read about that. Miss Candace Parker.
Yeah.
Miss Candace Parker.
How insane.
That is crazy.
How insane.
She's a proper baller. She's a proper baller.
And the crazy thing is, when we were talking about like our favorite three, female basketball players, she came up on, I think, on both of our sides.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned, Sue Bird. Can't remember who I mentioned, but I think it was not Sue Bird. I can't remember who the MVP is. I think it is Sue Bird who won the MVP this year. So I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
We know a little bit about basketball, man. We're not too bad at this basketball.
We kind of know our stuff.
I think the way I've kind of looked at this season for me, right, is this episode is kind of like, you know, you've got preseason.
Yeah.
We're about to go into like season two of Beyond the Arc.
Yeah.
So this is the preseason phase, as well, you know. It's like,
yeah. This is us getting, this is our layup line. So if we're a bit rusty.
It's a way for us to kind of like, just like, you know, when you come back from the off season, and then players need to kind of like work on their finishing, work on their chemistry, work on all that good stuff. This is kind of like, you know, the same platform for us to kind of like get into shape.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, speaking of getting in shape, what did you think of the Lakers against the Warriors? That was quite a...
My highlights of the Warriors versus Golden State game was when the Lakers Twitter account was like, this is our warning to the rest of the NBA.
And like LeBron out here diving for loose balls, and you can see Steph Curry's face, like, what are you doing? but I think for him, he kind of used it as a statement of intent, because I think LeBron feels some type of way about missing the playoffs. And I think he hears how everyone's been talking. I mean, we spoke about it off air, about how there's almost like a passing of the guard onto the new younger guys.
Yeah.
But he still feels like he has something to say.
I mean, I was thinking about it the other day as well. Like, it's actually insane that you're... Like, if you look at all the guys, most of the guys that LeBron started with or wasn't too far behind.
Yeah.
They've retired or, you know, aren't at the... I mean, Carmelo Anthony and LeBron James came into the game at the same time. And look how like LeBron is still considered one of the best.
Yeah.
I know Carmelo is still a dope player.
Oh yeah.
But like LeBron is still in the conversation for MVP. Mm. How many players do you know at the age of 35 who are still considered, you know, one of the best in the game?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think he's still going to be dominant.
Yeah.
And it's going to be interesting because I think there's been a lot of debate where if Anthony Davis is his best ever teammate. I think you could probably argue and say you could argue for D-Wade. Like, you could argue for D-Wade, but I think by the time you got to D-Wade, because of the way he plays, he felt a lot of wear and tear.
Mm.
Whereas I think he's got Anthony Davis coming in during his prime. Because I think about when he joined the Heat and compared to when he left. I mean, he was at the Heat for about 3 or 4 years.
Right? Yeah.
By the time he left, D-Wade looked like he was like... tired, man.
He was finished. He was coming towards the end.
And then that last series against the Spurs, like, he had to do everything.
Yeah.
But, like, and it just so I think in that regard, I think AD is coming in at his prime.
Yeah.
Plus, I think AD is hungry, and obviously there's the Rich Paul connection and all those things.
100%.
So I think for him, it's like a nice move.
I think the thing for me with the D-Wade thing was, I think when he came into the Heat team, I think D-Wade still had like one or two more like decent years.
Yeah.
You know, where he could be like a good teammate. And I think the key thing about D-Wade was also D-Wade knew how to win a championship.
Exactly.
Which
exactly.
is like a major key for LeBron.
No, definitely.
And I think that definitely helped him win a championship.
Yeah, no. Because I think that was what they talked about in the first season, was that whose team is it? Is it D-Wade's or is it LeBron?
Yeah.
And I think they had to, and I think there was a point where D-Wade told him, dude, you've got to do your thing now.
Yeah. And also, it was Elena Della Donna who actually won MVP.
Elena Della Donna. Yeah. Okay.
Two Birds dating the lady who won the Golden Boot at the FIFA Women's World Cup.
Megan Rapinoe.
Megan. Pino, how could I forget Pino, dog? So shout out to Elena, man. She actually had a crazy season.
Yeah, that's crazy. That's crazy.
So speaking of LA, right? There's a weird, crazy dynamic that's happening in Los Angeles at the moment where by the time the NBA kicks off, and I think we can delve into the rivalries like a little closer to the opening of the season, is California now has like three dope teams. Like Clippers look mean, the Lakers look mean, and you definitely can't count out the Warriors.
Yep.
So it's going to be lovely to see what's going to happen in that division.
Yeah. I mean, also, I think what's going to be interesting is, I mean, the Warriors are playing in a brand new arena.
Yeah.
So that's a new surrounding to get used to.
Yeah. Steph's already hit like an amazing three-pointer.
Exactly.
Dish from D'Angelo Russell.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, so they're already, back. Yep. Steph doing what Steph does.
Already working on his game, getting himself ready, showing y'all that he's still got it. But it's gonna be very interesting. I mean, look, I think obviously the two LA teams will dominate their attention,
mm-hmm.
especially because of the Warriors and their injuries, especially because of Klay Thompson.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably out. He's legit out for the season.
Yeah.
How is Steph and D'Angelo Russell gonna? How are they gonna work? Like, part of me feels like it's probably sign them for one season,
mm-hmm.
and then they might use them as an asset to trade.
Yeah.
In the next season.
Yeah.
Towards the probably like the next offseason, depending on how things go. Because I mean, I think we spoke about it as well, that that's a tricky one. Once they're all fit, how that's all going to work, because they all pretty much play the same position.
It's also interesting to see like how different players react to different situations, right?
Exactly.
So for some players, like when you're not the main player, you actually play your best basketball when you don't have to kind of like force plays or like be the person that everyone looks to do to make stuff, to make things happen. Mm-hmm. Whereas I'm interested to see if, because I think part of the reason D'Angelo Russell was so amazing last year was I think he's one of those players that just takes in being the main man.
You
know what I mean? It was like, D, we need buckets.
I got you.
You know what I mean? Whereas now he's not going to be the main guy anymore, but he's still going to be one of the, you know, one of the lead players, one of the key players on offense, but he's not going to be like the go-to guy like he was in Brooklyn. So it's interesting to see how he adapts to that role. If he can actually still find a way to like contribute to the team without like, you know, losing that spirit and that swagger and that demeanor that made him into an all-star last year.
No, for sure.
Pretty much like, to use a soccer reference, like Memphis Depay at, you know, at Leon right now. Like, he's killing it because he's like...
He's the main guy.
He's the main guy. Yep. It's the same thing with the Netherlands.
Yeah. Plus also, I think it'll be interesting because, I mean, as you mentioned, like, D'Angelo is very ball dominant in how do you perform off the ball.
Yeah.
Like, you look at someone like a Klay Thompson, for example, he's the perfect role player because of that, because he, like, he can take 10 dribbles in a whole game, but still have like 60 points
100%.
And like ball on you like that. So he's perfect for that because you can just kind of chill and lurk in the corner. And I think one thing that D'Angelo might probably give them is, and something that I think could be a benefit, is they probably hope that he can learn from Steph. So if they do look to keep him long term, he could potentially be someone that they could use to almost, like, not to say Steph, but like to step into his mantle, but to become like a future point guard for them if they do see that in him. Because, I mean, he is obviously younger. Steph mentioned that he's probably got about 6 years left of playing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that could be something to look at. And, yeah, I think that whole dynamic could be good. I think it's a win for D'Angelo Russell. Either way, I think for the Warriors, we'll have to see how it pans out.
Yeah, but I think you'll... I mean, I think especially with, you know, with Klay being out up until March or the whole season. The cool thing is, like, you can kind of, like, have Steph or D'Angelo bringing up the ball at different times.
Exactly.
The nice thing about D'Angelo is he drives into the paint quite a bit. Which will also create, like, a bit of space for Steph. So Steph won't always have to facilitate play. He can actually just knock shots down. But Steph is also one of the best players at shooting from the dribble. That's what makes him one of the most dangerous players.
And even off the ball, he's very elusive. Once they get those picks going, and then he just dodges, he just gets going, and then like, they're very good at like stepping him up.
And then speaking of rivalries as well, I think before we actually kicked off the show, you were telling me about how KD was going off on Hot 97.
Oh, yeah.
KD can't stay out of the papers.
KD this offseason, he's been a bit of a chatty patty, man. He's just been chatting about every and everything. He kind of, like,
he's been on one or two podcasts as well, right? Being KD.
Exactly. Because I know he had comments about the Warriors, obviously, where he kind of felt like he didn't fit in, as if it wasn't his team, as if it was Steph's team. And it kind of rubbed one or two people the wrong way. And now he was recently on Hot 97 saying that a lot of people don't want to play for the Knicks because this generation, the Knicks have always been trash. So it's like the older generation that kind of holds that nostalgia.
Yeah, but you even said something similar in one of the previous episodes or our random discussions. You were like, people don't look at the Knicks.
No, definitely.
The same,
definitely. I think, because I think for us, we, you know what I mean? Like Old Trafford is the new Madison Square Garden.
Let's not go there.
But yeah, I mean, you look at Madison Square Garden, I mean, we, like, if you've been following basketball for a while, you know how iconic Madison Square Garden is. I mean, I remember there was a game when Mark Jackson was still coaching the Warriors where Steph went there and dropped like 55 or 60 points on him.
Yeah.
And that's when I really started to see Steph Curry. And this was like before the championships. So I know that obviously Jordan has had many many iconic nights at like Madison Square Garden. So for those nostalgic fans, we know about the magic of Madison Square and how it's like the bright lights.
Yeah, I remember there was a story where, I can't remember which road it was. I can't remember if it was Cleveland or I was in town first or the Lakers.
Mm.
I think, if my memory serves me right, the night before, Kobe and the Lakers were in town and Kobe scored 50 points.
Yeah.
And then the next night, the Cavs were there.
Yeah.
And then LeBron had a triple-double.
I remember, yes.
You know what I mean? Yeah, or LeBron was like one short of a triple-double.
Exactly.
That also just shows you how trash the Knicks were, though. But it's also,
true.
You know, it just shows you, like, people used to go to Madison Square Garden and be like, geez, I'm at Madison Square Garden.
Exactly.
I want to have like a crazy night. I want to actually show people that I can ball.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have that same kind of like feeling anymore.
Yeah.
Where like the Staples Center is lucky because Staples Center has like two dope teams.
Yeah. But I mean, what's crazy is like when you look at like in terms of venues in general, like Barclays Center is becoming a viable venue.
Yeah.
For like a lot of things. I mean, a lot of events are happening there. It's becoming part of like, like, I think the thing about New York is its identity changed because of gentrification and so forth. So, like, Brooklyn isn't the Brooklyn that it was 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
So now a place like Barclays is, like, the new exciting thing.
But you remember, like, even when, like you were saying, like, from a cultural point of view.
Yeah.
Like, even doing a concert or, like, doing a comedy show at Madison Square Garden was, like, a huge thing.
Exactly, I mean.
And now Barclays Center, like you were saying, has become that venue.
It's got that, it's got that same thing. Because, I mean, we know, obviously, like, if you watch Fade to Black, you know, it was that was an iconic concert.
Yo.
We all remember when we all remember when J. Cole went to Madison Square Garden. So for them, there's still that level of, like, it's still a thing for, like, those kind of people. But I think for basketball players, it's just been a while since that. Because, I mean, I think the venue will always hold that because of just where it stands in the quote-unquote culture and so forth.
Yeah.
But I just feel like from a basketball perspective, like, I hear what KD is saying. But also feel like part of it is him playing up that rivalry.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we saw the way Marcus Morris got in during preseason.
Yeah.
Basically telling you guys, look, we're not a soft team. Like we're not, like, we're not with the shits.
Yeah.
And then with KD saying what he's saying, I think it all plays into each other's hands.
Yeah. Because
I think we also spoke about how, like, it's a nice rivalry, but we know Brooklyn's probably the much better squad at this point.
Yeah. But it also probably has to do with James Dolan being an idiot and not trying to sign KD.
He's a wacko.
When KD was a free agent. It's like, Kevin Durant, dude.
And also, I think it's just the way in which they treat their players. Like, I mean, with Charles Oakley getting escorted out of the building because of when altercation he had with them. And it's just the way in which he's treated people. I think that's really come back to haunt him. And I think even the Phil Jackson stuff, the way Melo left and just the way Porzingis left.
Kristaps,
exactly. It's just they've had a horrible, horrible run.
Yeah.
And I mean, everyone thought that because they tanked, they were going to get Zion. And then the NBA gods were like,
nope. What a flop. Yo.
NBA gods are like, nah.
Yeah.
So I think it was just like, because like they do. And also kudos to the fan base because, I mean, I think when it, like when it comes to basketball, like a city like New York with most of its sporting teams, the locals do support their teams. And I think there's always going to be that loyal fan base which they can count on. Because I think also another thing with the modern NBA is that people follow players, not teams.
Yeah.
I mean, we also spoke about how the Brooklyn Nets will all of a sudden see a surge in their fan base.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to have like sold out nights most of the nights because of Kyrie and DeAndre and KD. Well, not so much this season, but I mean, they've still got Kyrie.
It's going to be very interesting. I think this season's going to be bug for them, and then next season is going to be even better.
Exactly.
I just feel like, the Knicks thing is such a tragic thing.
Mm.
And I mean, you could hear it and you could see it after like, not the draft was announced, but the order in which teams could choose players that they want to draft in.
Exactly.
The way Steven Smith was just like...
Everyone was gutted, man.
Yo.
Everyone was gutted.
But also, like, you know, when you mention all the things, I mean, it's a weird thing that some people believe in and some people don't believe in. When you put bad energy out into the universe, you get bad energy back. And I think it's just a common thing for me with the Knicks. I mean,
definitely.
They really had an opportunity to do something great with Carmelo Anthony, with Phil Jackson. D-Rose was there at the same time as Carmelo. Like, they really had a chance to do something special.
Yeah.
And they just keep letting themselves down. And,
but I think for me personally, sorry, sorry about it, and I think bringing in Phil Jackson wasn't the right move. I think at that point he was, like, I mean, Phil Jackson's cool, but I don't think...
He's a GM.
He's not a GM, and I think the way players are and their behavior and their mentalities change. Because I think the days of, like, your Kobe's and your Jordan's, those cold-hearted killer assassins who want to stay with, like, one team forever, those guys are gone.
Yeah,
like, I don't think that's as big as a thing anymore. I think now these players.
Hey man, you still got Dame.
That's true.
Yeah, but I think also,
I mean, like I read somewhere, when you look at the contracts Jordan signed throughout his career, they weren't big. They weren't big. You know what I mean? So, like, that's why I say, like in that age, it was more about, like, I don't want to play with the best. I want to beat the best.
Yeah.
Like, how many guys do you know who couldn't get a ring because of Jordan?
Yeah.
Whereas LeBron is like. And this is not a knock on LeBron in like anyway, like he's a great player. KD's also a great player, but I just think the way in which the game is set up now, loyalty isn't just something that's given.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that's earned.
Yeah.
Which is why I think Portland and Dame have that thing, because also Dame is like a bit of an old school kind of character.
Yeah.
But I think, like, a lot of the new guys, they have a very much like sort of now kind of mentality. Yeah.
Look, I mean, I think when it comes to player contracts and players being loyal to one team, I think unfortunately, but it is a bit of a two-way thing.
Yeah.
Because if you look at how certain teams have treated certain players, like, I remember even talking about how, actually, I think they talk about it on 2K19.
Yeah.
About how DeMarcus Cousins was traded.
Yeah.
While sitting on the bench. I mean, come
exactly.
on, like that. That, you know, I think it's stuff like that that made the players realize, and I think LeBron has been like a major driving force behind, you know,
player power. Yeah.
I'm not gonna let the the teams dictate my future. I'm gonna dictate my own future.
Yeah.
Because teams are loyal to themselves as well. They don't
exactly.
Like, I think the cool thing with the Lakers is when Kobe was like 34, 35, they gave him like 48 more for 2 years or something crazy like that, and people were like, oh, why is Kobe getting him? Kobe was like, yo, I've given my heart and soul to this team.
Exactly. I mean, Kobe plays on like half a leg. Like
exactly. Half a leg, right? Yeah. It's like, it's fine if we have a crappy season. Like, I deserve to get paid for my dues, you know? And I think that's the model that most players are doing now, is they're saying, I'll take like 2 or 3 years of not being paid a lot, but then y'all better pay me after this.
Exactly.
And I think that's why Steph got such a huge contract.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Clay got a nice contract.
Yeah.
And now, you know, with like you were saying, with the Blazers, CJ is getting his paper.
Yeah.
Dame is getting his paper. The one for me though, I was like, I know he's gonna be a star, but he still has to prove it. Was Ben Simmons, because Ben Simmons also got like a huge extension.
I saw they gave him almost like a supermax type deal. I was
And I mean, I think that probably goes back to Rich Paul and just the power that that team has at the moment.
Exactly.
Yeah. But yo, man, like, I think this NBA season is gonna be lit. It's gonna be insane. You know, the one thing that I like is I like how Kawhi just takes his own path, but he doesn't do what LeBron is doing or what KD is doing. Like, he's just all about, like, this is my narrative and this is how I'm gonna, you know, how my path is gonna unfold and how I'm gonna create my own legacy.
Yeah.
I love the fact that he was like, ayo, PG, listen, I'm going to the Clippers. It would be dope if you can join me.
Exactly.
Because then we can have our own team. But, you know, if you can't, it's all... Like,
yeah.
That's dope. You know what I mean? He could have stayed with the Raptors. He could have gone to the Lakers and created, like, another
team. Yeah, because everyone thought that's where he'd go. But it was just... But I think he saw it for what it is. Like, nah.
Yeah. Mm. There was actually an interesting article that I read before he signed with the Clippers. And I don't think the author of the article knew that what he was saying was suggesting that the Clippers are going to sign Kawhi. Because he was like, you know, Kawhi and his team and his uncle and his family, they don't like teams that are like loud and out there and putting out information when information's supposed to be on the DL.
Exactly.
And then he was like, the only team that's spoken to Kawhi and that's kept it like nice and chilled was the Clippers. And then think he realized that, you know, there was also like a sign to be like, oh, this
exactly.
actually
yeah.
So on that note, right, we've spoken about Kawhi, we've spoken about KD, we've spoken about how LeBron is, you know, still in the MVP conversation. Giannis is obviously the reigning MVP. But KD and Kawhi, when it comes to like the best player in the world, kind of like taking the torch from LeBron. They're the two players that I mentioned the most.
Yeah.
Who do you think is the best player in your opinion?
I'm going to go with Kawhi personally.
This guy always does this. He says answers that I know I'm going to say.
Yeah.
So that when I have to explain.
Yeah, I still get thunder. I mean, like, if you're going to give me the ball first, then I'm going to shoot. Like, I'm going to be Kobe to you, bro. I'm not going to give you no assist.
I shoot, homie.
I would say Kawhi, but my reasons are, it's a kind of like a twofold reason. I think it's the on-the-court reasons and the off-the-court reasons.
Yeah.
I think with Kawhi, you've got someone who... Who everyone knows how Kawhi gets down. Like, he's a baller, he's a great defender. And I think he's also, and I think for me, what I saw in Toronto is that when the situation's correct, he's a good teammate. Because I think, like, in his own way, he made everyone around him better.
Yeah, he made Lowry better.
Exactly. Because I mean, Lowry and DeRozan were a great combo, but it was just the two of them and then the rest of the team.
Yeah.
Whereas I think what someone like Kawhi does, because he's so selfless, because he's not always looking for the shot, because he isn't very like, he's aggressive and he knows when to pop up, but he also gives others the time to shine. So I think for me, that makes him the better team player.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think with KD, and this is what's going to be interesting to see is, at like, for example, you look at his, at him and Westbrook, they were a great combination, but at certain points you didn't know who was gonna be the guy to take the shot because you kind of understand in hindsight why the personalities did clash in a way. Because I think neither of them was willing to back down, and both of them thought that they were both like the superstar of the team.
Yeah.
And then I think with at Golden State, what his issue was he felt like it wasn't his team. So you can see he's a guy that wants to kind of dictate things. Whereas Kawhi saying, cool, it's just me and PG. We're being coached by Doc Rivers. We've got Patrick Beverley, and you look at the way that team is set up to just be like defensive monsters. You've got Doc Rivers, you've got Jerry West. Like, I think he just got has
Lou Williams.
Exactly, Lou Williams, sixth man of the year, double. And it's just like, I think him and his demeanor and the way he plays and just the way he carries himself and the choices he makes, I give him that edge just more so for those reasons. I mean, look, KD is one of the craziest scorers you'll ever see in your life. But I just feel like for me, I would rather have Kawhi because of his stability.
Yeah. Damn you. I can say damn you because I saw we come with a warning on on Apple.
Exactly.
We come with an explicit content warning.
But we are still PC guys.
So I think to answer the same question, I think, you know, I think the weird thing about Kawhi, right, is KD's always had an offensive game. Like, he's always been good in offense, whereas Kawhi wasn't always seen as like, you know, can I, you know, ask him to lead my offense and for him to be the primary scorer. Whereas KD's always been that guy. And, you know, when people talk about someone who's very difficult to defend, who's hard to, who's got a lot of moves when it comes to scoring, KD's
that guy.
KD's that guy. But the thing for me is that, like, if you look at before KD got injured,
yeah,
before he got injured in the playoffs,
yeah,
Kawhi actually had better numbers than him.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, and I'm not talking about better numbers just in terms of like the points that he scored.
Mm.
I'm talking about the points that he scored versus the shots that he took. So yeah, like his conversion rate was amazing. And I think it's just like you said, I think for me, Kawhi has like, he reads the game better in my opinion. You know,
yeah,
he knows when to be like, okay, cool, let me get my teammates involved in the game, versus where, okay, cool, I need to actually take over this game. I need to shut this game down.
KD just wants iso ball. I mean, he said it. Yeah.
Like
he wants iso ball.
Yeah. And then I think for me, dude, it was just like just watching Kawhi in the playoffs, like just the way even his handles were insane.
Yeah.
Like even, you know, the way he was creating space for himself. Thing that you said about him being a good teammate,
yeah,
you know, and trusting his teammates and lifting his teammates, whereas I feel like KD's all about like you were saying, you know, he needs to be the main man, he needs to be the leader of the team and everyone else needs to follow him. Whereas like also the fact that, you know, you never hear Kawhi speaking like, and I mean, it's got nothing to do with being the best player in the game, but you never hear him speaking ill of other people. He just goes about his business, you know. He's just like, I'm gonna play the game. And then for me, I think the determining factor for me is that KD couldn't lead the Thunder to a championship.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if even going into the playoffs, right? If you looked at the Raptors, if you looked at Golden State, if you looked at the Rockets, if you looked at the Milwaukee Bucks, I don't think, you know, I think the Raptors probably would have been like fourth or fifth on that list.
Oh, definitely.
You know, and like out of LeBron, out of KD, out of everyone who's won the championship in the last couple of years, he's the one that's actually led his team.
Yep.
And two different teams at that.
Yeah.
Two championships. You know what I mean?
And he does it in the most unassuming manner.
Yeah. Exactly.
Like, I mean, even when he won it with San Antonio, like he was good, but I wasn't like, ooh, Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
It was just like, everyone was like, okay, Kawhi.
Yeah, and I think because of his demeanor, because he's so quiet, I think people see that he's great.
Yeah.
But I think the way that he's, because he's quiet and he does things quietly, people give more focus to KD.
Exactly.
And because KD is probably like, it's funny for me that I think they're probably on par offensively.
Yeah.
But defensively, I think, you know,
Kawhi is probably
a bit better.
But I also think something that's something that we should just put out there is that like KD's still a great player. KD's dope. And he's also I think since he moved to Golden State, his defensive numbers have gotten a lot better. Because I think because Golden State plays such small ball, it kind of forced him to almost play like a center role at times. Yeah. And also I think
there's a video, if you guys get a chance to check it out, there's a video of while he was still at Golden State of him playing horse with Steph Curry, and you see like the video starts, Steph Curry makes his first shot, makes another, and KD misses like one or two shots, but he's so calm, dog. He's like, you know when you're like, when you're fighting someone in boxing and you can see this guy is like, yeah, dude, it's fine, do your best, I'm gonna show you. And then he just came back and he beat like one of the best shooters in the game, and KD was just like, oh, I see you beating me, dog.
Cool, I got you. He's like, I got some shit for you. It's all good, I got you. But
this season's gonna be, it's gonna be amazing. One or two more things that we need to talk about, right?
Yes, yes.
So the first is Kobe said something that was quite interesting.
Okay.
And he was like, if Shaq was in shape, was in better shape, sorry, and was more motivated, they could have won 12 championships together.
12 championships.
Did you not hear the story?
I heard it, but like, I'm still shocked by the number. I'm because like, I mean, I'm like, that kind of sounds like when LeBron went to Miami. It's like, how many championships are you going to win?
3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
And it's like, okay. Okay. But I mean, 12 championships. That's... Yeah. I don't know. I hear what he's saying because that's Kobe. I mean, Kobe is going to do whatever it takes to get somebody motivated. Like, Kobe can get under your skin, bro.
Yeah.
like that's what he does. But I would, yeah. I mean, I think part of that is like banterish. I think because I mean, him and Shaq have got big banter.
Yeah,
going on.
Like, I mean, look. I think the thing is, like, when they were playing together, Shaq was in his prime.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? And he was. I think Shaq's probably one of the most dominant players I've ever seen.
Yeah, one of the most dominant bigs of all time.
Yeah, I mean, he was. I think he was unstoppable. Yeah. In the paint, like no one could come close to Shaq when he was in the paint.
Sheesh.
And I think also Kobe would have gotten better. Or actually, Kobe was going to get better over time. But you can't predict like 12 championships.
No, 12.
Like, other teams will get better.
Yeah.
Other teams will make moves. Mm-hmm. People will get injured. Like 12 championships is just
plus
like,
that's basically, you would have to win them consecutively.
Yeah.
Which is like ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Season after season.
Yeah.
And then there's wear and tear from going deep into playoffs.
And also
every season.
Yeah, and also the game was a lot more physical.
Yeah,
and Hack and Shaq. I mean, Shaq was getting bullied. I mean, as big as Shaq was, he was still getting abused in there.
Yeah,
and the way Kobe plays, he's all or nothing. Like he's an all in guy. He plays with me. Like I hear what he's saying.
Mm. But I mean, like, look, maybe he could have gotten close to Jordan. I mean, he ended up with 5. So maybe he could have won like maybe 7 championships.
Look, if Shaq and Kobe stayed together and if the unity of the team was still on point, I mean like if they had Robert Horry, Derek Fisher, like that core that they had was great. And I mean you can imagine if there was ever a point where they had Kobe, Gasol and Shaq, for example.
Yeah.
Like if Shaq stayed. I mean obviously Gasol probably wouldn't have joined if Shaq stayed, but it's just like
Lamar Odom,
exactly. And so it's just like I mean you think about it, it's like, maybe, but for me, the thing that I'm more sorry about personally is that we never got that LeBron versus Kobe final.
Oh man, that would have been. That needs a whole podcast on its own.
Yeah. But anyway, that's just like a side.
We need to sort of dissect that one.
But
The last thing on this Shaq thing, before we talk about this beef with Dame Dota. Hey, did you see the video of Shaq and Jordan going one-on-one?
Yeah, I saw that.
Shaq had handles, dog.
Shaq had ball on you.
Shaq had handles. I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah. I was like, because part of the reason I actually became a Laker fan was I used to follow Shaq at the Magic.
Yeah.
And then I followed them to the Lakers. And then once I got to the Lakers, I was like, this is how.
Yeah. I'm going to stay around. Yeah.
I like it here.
Yep.
And that's probably like another conversation we need to have like another time is, how, you know, like basketball is growing internationally around the world, but isn't it crazy how like in America, obviously you support your team based on where you're from.
Yeah.
Whereas,
well, to a certain extent.
To a certain extent, yeah. Whereas in like the rest of the world, like in Africa, you'll find like there's a guy who likes the Lakers this season, but then there's like, oh snap, the Warriors are doing well. So
exactly.
You know, and I think we just like the culture of like wearing basketball jerseys.
Yeah.
So you'll see guys wearing like a Lakers jersey one day, and then a Rockets jersey the next
and
day,
then and then a Clippers jersey the next. There's no shame.
It's insane. That's a whole conversation.
That's a conversation for
another podcast. Yeah. Do you wanna talk a little bit about your homie Dame Dolla
spitting bars at Shaq?
But Shaq started it, right? Shaq came with Dame for no reason.
I remember where it started because I mean I'm a fan of the Joe Budden podcast, so I watched that a bit, and then I remember they kind of planted the seed about who's the best rapper / basketball player.
Yeah.
And then Dame kind of said that I'm better than Shaq. Like I think I mean as he's supposed to be. Right?
Yeah.
He's supposed to kind of stand your ground. And then obviously Shaq got wind of it, and Shaq came with some bars for him. But I think the weird thing about Shaq's was like it wasn't mastered, it wasn't anything, it was just like a random clip of him rapping.
Yeah, probably did it on WhatsApp.
You know what I mean? He probably did a voice note or whatever, just chilling. But I mean, look, Shaq's was entertaining. Dame did have the bars, but it's also for me this is a conversation that's got nothing to do with basketball, but it kind of speaks to where we are in terms of just that dynamic of hip hop is that. Shaq was very entertaining. So I was like, okay, Shaq did his thing. But I mean, Dame did have the bars. I mean, Dame was coming with like, he was on that lyrical miracle type of rap.
Yeah.
Where he was like really coming from with the bars. I mean, I can't think of the punchlines now, but I know that there was some solid punchlines from Dame. But then also, I mean, Shaq was just coming at you like, dude, like, I see you signed your little Supermax deal. I'm like, this guy signed $300 million, calling it little. But like, it gives you perspective as to what these guys are talking about. Like, I mean, basketball beef has got to be the funniest beef because it's just like, for a normal human being, or even for a rapper, for someone to diss you for making $300 million, it's just like, I see a little contract.
So, But I think, like, you know, without revealing our age too much, we grew up in that era where, like, well, maybe we're youngins, but we're around in that era when Shaq, I mean, Kobe made a music video with Brian McKnight, you know?
Trash. But, like, Shaq was cool.
And then you've got people like Victor Oladipo out here doing R&B.
Actually, random side conversation. I'm reading Rick Ross's book. At some point, Shaq almost signed Rick Ross.
No way.
Yeah.
That would have been insane.
Yeah.
Shaq's quite a businessman, though.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, Shaq was doing his thing because he had his Twism record label and all that stuff. But anyway, that's another conversation for another day. But it's like, that's what tells you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I remember I'm Outstanding.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
and Can't Stop the Rain.
Can't Stop the Rain.
That's like, that thing used to go up. Dog. Man. Shaq had hits.
And they used to shoot Shaq from like a low angle, which made him look even taller. And I think even from those days, like, Shaq was never like, he had a nice flow.
Mm.
Obviously, he's got that deep Shaq voice.
Yeah.
He was nice with it, but he was never like, never had hectic bars. He had nice bars.
Yeah, yeah, he's solid.
Whereas, like, when you hear the Dame, that I think there was a Dame freestyle that came out like 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was The Breakfast Show or what show it was, where it's just Dame and he's like just spitting and you're like, dude, what?
Dame has got bars.
Dame could actually be like a proper, musician, a proper rapper.
Definitely.
So I think I agree with him. Like, he does have better bars than Shaq.
Yeah. But it's just that Shaq's the master entertainer.
Yeah.
He's an entertainer.
And Shaq was not going to lie down. And like,
exactly.
Like when Dwight Howard called himself Superman. And Shaq
was like,
what?
But Shaq is the, I think Shaq is like, even though he's like an OG, he's still a troll.
Yeah.
So he saw it as an opportunity. Because I mean, like, I'm sure there's no animosity.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those, like, okay.
Yeah. I mean, it's the fact that him and his ex-wife are still cool and he's always dissing her when he's like on stage. Like,
that's just
how Shaq is when he's a very playful guy. Hectic businessman. And even Dame, they interviewed him after that, and he was like, listen, so I heard Shaq's comeback, and I was like, I've got a bit of time, so let me just put this track together, and then I knew you guys were going to ask me about it, so let me just get it out the way before I even come to practice, so that we can talk about it, get it out the way, and then focus on basketball for the rest of the year.
Yeah, plus Shaq's got an advantage because he doesn't have anything pressing. Dame's got to be focused, man.
He has to be focused.
I mean, they came close. I mean, they were Western Conference Finals last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this is a big season for them.
Yeah. Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah.
Who else did they sign? They signed someone from, wasn't it from Atlanta?
Ooh, I must check that. Anyway, we'll get into that next episode.
It's gonna be hot. But Joe, man, this has been a good preseason warm up. Actually,
it's been great. I think
getting back into the groove. I mean, it's been a while since we've actually done a pod as well.
Yeah. I mean, I was practicing my one legged shots as well. You know, I've actually been standing on one leg during this whole podcast, trying to be like James Harden. So, like, if I sounded short of breath.
Yo, also I'm looking for a new co-host. This nigga's out here wilding.
This guy's typical KD. I'm clearly the Russell Westbrook here. I gotta do everything myself. I'm averaging triple doubles over here. This guy's just throwing bricks all day.
So I mean, I think it's been a while since we've both, you know, been in the studio.
Yeah.
Podcast together.
But I mean, you know, we had to let the game, you know, kind of do its thing.
Yeah. The crazy thing is, like we said at the beginning of the show, like, the amount of love we've been getting from people, even though we've been on off air, has been amazing. I mean, I think it's been like, we posted in August last year.
It's
been like a month since we put up something.
It has been a while. But then also, we didn't want to, like, you know, give you guys like a half. Like a half-ass podcast. Plus, I mean,
it was off-season.
Yeah.
It
was off-season, and we were also trying to get our house in order. As we said, you know, we're making sure we're on all the different platforms.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we're also just, you know, I mean, we're excited like you guys are for the basketball season. Hoping to see some great stuff coming forward. And on a personal note, I just want to say I had some hot takes about netball.
I'm looking for new cars. I'm not joking.
look, they do show netball on Showmax as well as Super Sport. I've been watching a few of them. It's fun. It's cool. I like it. I was enjoying it. It's good to see that it is getting love. I mean, that the sport is kind of still having a good run. So I apologize if I did, like, not offend anyone, but just like if I rubbed you the wrong way. But yeah, and also what's also cool is that they're starting to show more local basketball. So I think going forward, we're going to try and jump on that as well to start to get into that. Because I know that there's a varsity cup final in the basketball coming up this weekend. So we want to kind of, you know, give some light to that. I think that's something which we can sort of look for. Obviously, their season looks like it's winding down, but I think the BNL is still going. So you can check that out. That's on SuperSport as well as Showmax.
You guys guilt tripped this guy into watching netball.
I wasn't guilt tripped. I had
finding netball.
I had time.
Netball on Showmax.
I had time. I saw sport was on Showmax. There was no soccer, so I watched netball.
So Lily. Also, do you know who's been sending us props from all the way in? I'm not sure if it's London, but the UK.
Okay.
Gatiso.
Oh, shout out to Katiso, man. Yo, yeah. It's been so long, bro.
Yeah.
Shout out to Katiso, yeah.
Appreciate everyone who's been showing
love. Love to everybody, man.
Also, if you follow me on Instagram, Galileo86.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw my Derrick Rose appreciation
post. Yes. This guy is a D-Rose fan.
I love D-Rose.
This guy just likes people with dirty dreads. They call him D-Rose.
Look, I feel like that time when the Heat was popping, I say this time and time again. If like, cause that team under Tibbs had defense. Dude. They just needed Derrick Rose's offense, and they were gonna win the championship.
D Rose, when he was rocking the number one, when he was still in his prime,
youngest MVP ever.
He was a problem.
Dude, they were gonna win the championship.
And they were tough because they had Joakim Noah, had Carlos Boozer. They were a tough squad.
Taj Gibson, Nate Robinson coming off the bench.
Exactly.
They were gonna win the championship.
That was a great era.
I swear to you, they were gonna win the championship.
That was a very dope era.
They were gonna mess up the Heat with Chris Bosh and Mario Chalmers.
And also, even going back to the era, I know it's like not kind of. I mean, you know, it was recently D Rose's birthday. We didn't get to shout him out properly because we were off air. But I mean, shout out to him for that. I mean, he is a favorite for the pod in general. But also, like another team, do you remember the Pacers?
Yeah.
The Pacers gave him, I mean, back when Paul George was still wearing number 24.
They lost because of, like, someone forgot to mark on the end.
Exactly. It's just like, oh, man. Anyway, as you can see, we're basketball lovers. We can do this. even when we're trying to wind down, we still want to go back into other conversations.
Yeah. So, yeah, just to close the show, like, I even tweeted Tsuku, like, a while back to be like, you know, we need to do a Derrick Rose appreciation podcast.
Yes, sir.
Because he's our dude. He's our dude.
Yeah, no. Plus, he's a special player.
Yeah. And if you haven't watched the documentary, check out the Pooh story. Yeah, man. So we just want to close the show off by saying happy birthday to Derrick Rose. I mean, it's such a pity that his career didn't turn out the way we all wanted it to turn out. Mm. But we still got to witness, like, an amazing, great player in action. Happy birthday, D-Rose, from me and Tsuku, from the whole Ricola podcast, Beyond the Arc team. Shout out to you, homie.
Yeah, man. Shout out to D-Rose. One time.
This is us. We're back.
Signing out. We're back.
Preseason.
Yeah, catch us on iTunes. Catch us on Spotify. Catch us on Google Podcasts. Catch us on Anchor. Wherever you want to find
us.
Catch us on the streets.
In the streets, son.
Yes, I'll be back on the streets soon. I've been hibernating.
Tsuku's... never mind. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay, that's it. Bye-bye. Cheers.